let's look at the first six verses. I'll read them and make a few comments. We then who are strong ought to bear with the scruples of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let each of us please his neighbor for his good, leading to edification. For even Christ did not please himself, but as is written, the reproaches of those who reproached you fell on me. For whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. Now may the God of patience and comfort grant you to be like-minded toward one another, according to Christ Jesus, that you may with one mind and one mouth glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. So one of the basic principles of being a Christian is to be more interested in other people than we are in ourselves. Human nature being what it is, we usually think about our own needs, our own issues, our own struggles more than we think about each other. But when Jesus is in our heart, the Holy Spirit causes us to want to be involved in helping other people and serving people and being with people in their times of adversity and trial and not ignoring their needs and their struggles. It's imperative for us as Christians, especially in the days that we live, that we actually are the hands and feet of Jesus in a world that is in desperate need of a Savior and truth, a desperate need of prayer and help and love and comfort and encouragement. And every day, you and I have a chance to encounter people in everyday life, hearing their stories and knowing about their situations. And the Lord will many times use you to bring a word of encouragement or maybe some help to someone who's in need or just thinking about how you might make someone else's life a little bit easier and more pleasant than maybe what it is. And we have to be available to the Lord to be willing to do that at any given time. 24/7, Jesus is accessible all the time to all of us, isn't he? He's a man of sorrows, the Bible says, and acquainted with grief. So the Lord's heart, the way he is looking upon this world and seeing it as being a place of sheep, which we all are, many times without a shepherd, without a savior. And so the importance of the gospel, as Gina prayed at the end of her worship time, is to really care about people coming to know Jesus. The time is short, and every one of you have the ability to influence people wherever you are to tell them about the simplicity of believing in Jesus for their salvation and forgiveness of sins, but also to be mobilized to serve the Lord in ministries. Yesterday, I taught about body life. And so this first section of scripture in Romans is all about what is it that you're called to do in your ministry personally? What is it that you are spiritually gifted for? And how can you be involved in serving the Lord in the church or outside the church or wherever you might be? There's needs all the time in the churches and in the world for people like you and me, just normal everyday people, to allow the Lord to use these bodies to help other people and serve them and help ministries. It's just a wonderful thing. And I believe that, as it tells us in Ephesians 4:16, when every part, that means everybody in this local church, when every part does its share, whatever that share might be, it makes increase of the body unto the edifying itself together in love. On a real practical note, you know, we were asked if anybody has the ability to lift a few boxes and bring them down to make it nice for the fall season for decoration. That's serving the Lord, right? That's a ministry. Every little thing we do in this church for the sake of other people is a ministry. So we all have an opportunity to serve. We don't have to sit and think, well, I don't know what I can do. I don't have this gift and I don't have this. Get involved. One of the biggest gifts is the gift of helps. And we always need that. And all of us have, I believe, that gift to be able to help people in various situations. So Paul's exhorting the church throughout this book of Romans how to be more like Jesus. And then he says in verse 7 through 13, to glorify God together. And that's what we do when we serve the Lord together in our ministries. We're glorifying God together as a family. Therefore, receive one another, just as Christ also received us to the glory of God. Now I say that Jesus Christ has become a servant to the circumcision for the truth of God. That means he first initially came to the nation of Israel to confirm the promises made to the fathers, and that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy, as it is written, "For this reason I will confess to you among the Gentiles and sing to your name." And again he says, "Rejoice, O Gentiles, with his people." And again, "Praise the Lord, all you Gentiles. Laud him, all you people." And again Isaiah says, "There shall be a root of Jesse, and he who shall rise to reign over the Gentiles, and him the Gentiles shall have hope." Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit dwells in all of us, and God wants this power that's in us to abound abundantly, so you and I sense God like breathing through us, that we might bring peace and joy to other people's lives. That's what's so wonderful about the gospel. It's always about how you can bless people. It's you know, you get blessed because of being a believer and a son and daughter of God, but you get to be a blessing to other people. Just like this shoebox thing. I mean, it's huge. You might think it's incidental, but if you're a kid in a third world country that you don't get anything, and someone is gracious enough to put together a little box, and it may be you, hopefully, me, that we provide these boxes, you see the joy in these kids' little hearts and their lives, how they light up. And then they hear the gospel as a result of that. And I don't know, what's the statistics? How many boxes in the world do they send out every year? I have no idea. How many nations does it go to?
110 nations. We've sent over 12 million shoeboxes.
Wow.
Since the ministry began.
So that's a seed. 12 million shoeboxes, 12 million lives that are getting to hear about Jesus that normally wouldn't hear about him in such a simple way, right? I mean, any God can come up with these creative ways, and we pray that we'd be very much involved in this opportunity to touch all these different lives. But the importance of the Holy Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, we need him to fill us and control us and give us the power and the desire and ability to do things that in our natural condition of being sinful people don't normally want to do, right? It's like a light switch that goes on. When the Holy Spirit intervenes, man, the light goes on everywhere and people can be blessed and you can be amazed at what he'll do through your life. But Paul is a very, very powerful teacher in the sense of him realizing his strength, his ability to do what he did as an apostle always came from the power of the Holy Spirit. And then in verses 14 to 21, this is his journey from Jerusalem to Illyricum. "Now I myself am confident concerning you, my brethren, that you also are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, being able to admonish one another." This ministry of admonishing one another is a challenge. If you see a weakness in my life or something you're concerned about, I would hope that you would, first of all, pray and say, how can I help Clark through this challenge that he's struggling with right now? It's not judging me. It's coming alongside of me to encourage me and help me stay on track. I need that. You need that. And when someone comes to you about something in your life that they're concerned about, the first thing we usually do, our pride puts our arms up to defend ourselves or justify whatever it is that we want to justify to make it seem like we're actually better than what we're really, where we really are. But the Bible says, faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of the enemy are deceitful. So someone who's really a friend and cares about you wants to admonish you. And admonishment is a warning to stop whatever, get involved in whatever, whether it's marriage, family, work, kids, health issues, whatever. We have this constant need to be interested in being filled with the wisdom of God that we might know how to minister to people that need encouragement. And he says, "Nevertheless, brethren, I've written more boldly to you on some points as reminding you because of the grace given to me by God, that I might be a minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God, that the offering of the Gentiles might be acceptable, sanctified by the Holy Spirit." So Paul's taken this gift that was given by the Gentiles to the poor in Jerusalem at the time. So they collected an offering as they were journeying around, and they had a substantial amount of funds to provide for the people in Jerusalem at the time that were dealing with a famine. And Paul was praying that this gift would be accepted by the Jewish people, and their pride wouldn't prevent them from receiving it. And this was part of what we do as Christians too. We provide resources to people who are in need. We support missionaries around the world. Our biggest radio, biggest expense right now is a radio station to get the gospel out to people who have never heard of Jesus. And sometimes you have friends that won't listen to you or won't come to church, but you can say, hey, turn to 91.7 and tell me what you think. And they'll hear something. And many times people, as a result of hearing the gospel on radio, have come to be saved and getting you are here, or also finding a church that they can go to where the Bible's being taught. Some of you are here because you've heard the gospel on Grace FM. And so we constantly think about how we can reach out, outreach to other people. As I said last week, we're going to get involved in some homeless shelters with several couples in the church who have a burden to minister to the homeless and help them get on their feet and get set up in life again with a job and an apartment or whatever. this is also part of what it is we do. To be able to be sensitive to what the Bible's teaching we do as Christians. He says, therefore, I have reason, in verse 17, to glory in Christ Jesus and the things which pertain to God. For I will not dare to speak of any of those things which Christ has not accomplished through me in word and deed to make the Gentiles, so that from Jerusalem and round about to Illyricum, I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. And so I have made it my aim to preach the gospel, not where Christ was named, lest I should build on another man's foundation, but as it is written, to whom he was not announced, they shall see, and those who have not heard shall understand. So again, this is Paul's heart. He wanted to brag on God all the time, and I think that's a good thing to do. Share what the Lord's doing in your life because of your life. All glory to God, right? Let people know, hey, I had this opportunity to tell someone about Jesus. Where at? Well, I was in Walmart going down to Cracker Isle. And I ran into this person I've been praying for months, this woman I heard say yesterday. And she was so excited. She came out to her husband, who's the pastor. He says, I hate going into Walmart. So he stays in the car and listens to the radio. And every time she comes out, she's all exuberant and blessed because she's a real prayer warrior, and she's got a heart to let people know about Jesus. And she comes out, and she's all excited, and she's, oh, Jeff, you wouldn't believe what happened. Yeah, you got to talk to someone, right? That's what he says. Well, yeah, but you don't understand. I was praying for this lady, and as soon as she saw me, she said, I need Jesus in my life. And she'd been praying that this woman would come to this kind of realization. And then Jeff said, man, here I am as a pastor, and at times I don't have this kind of heart that Jesus has. I do my ministry, but sometimes I don't want to be bothered or disturbed in my life. And he says, my wife encourages me to have a heart that's open to other people. And that's what we all need. We all need that in our lives. It's not about us. So you're out and about, Walmart, wherever you go. And when you go in there, just don't think you're going to go in there and get some kind of deal or special sale or whatever. But when you're in there saying, Lord, is there anybody here that you want me to run into, have a conversation with, tell them about what you're doing in my life, just a little word of testimony, witness, everybody you have an opportunity to do that with every day. I'm getting ready to go on a 9-day road trip in my business. Please pray for me. I have to see a lot of people, and I interact with a lot of people. But I'm more interested in divine appointments when I'm out there. Will God give me an opportunity to tell someone? That's what excites the Lord. Amen. Or a follow-up conversation I've had with someone before. That's what excites me. Obviously, I need to sell things, pay for things, whatever. But I need, more importantly, to think about what's the purpose of this trip that the Lord's sending me on. And it'll be interesting. I know I have a lot of opportunities to share my faith, and I want to do that. And so Paul also had this heart. He never wanted to go and preach and work in areas that already had the gospel. That's just the way he was. He was an apostle. So he was a church planter, and he would always go to places that never heard about Jesus, like the Dawsons in Venezuela. They're in the jungles there, and they're meeting new tribes all the time that have never once heard the name of Jesus. So they're using the torches that we're providing for them. They're about $75 a piece, and they have a light that the sun makes work like a flashlight, but they also have the ability to play the gospel in their own dialect, their tongue, and some video stuff with the Jesus film and that kind of stuff. He's so excited. He sent me an email out, and I just got it yesterday, about the group of people who are going up the river in these boats to take these torches to these people that have never yet once heard the gospel. Cindy and I were trained to go with that organization to take the word to people who have never heard. And I've told you a story many times. It became apparent to me that really isn't probably where I should go because I don't know how to build a jungle hut. I don't know how to fish. I'm embarrassed to tell you this, but it's true. I've never shot a gun. I've never killed an animal. I've never, you know, butchered something. So I said to Cindy after training for a while, I said, this isn't going to work. Why, honey? Because I can't do any of this stuff. You'll starve out there. We'll die out there. We've got to send other people. So here I am, second best going, I think, to be a pastor next to a missionary. But Paul had this desire to go out there into other places. And so he plans to visit Rome, verses 22 down through the end of the chapter. He says, for this reason, I've also been much hindered from coming to you, but now no longer having a place in these parts and having a great desire these many years to come to see you, whenever I journey to Spain, I shall come to you. For I hope to see you on my journey and be helped on my way there by you, if first I may enjoy your company for a while. But now I'm going to Jerusalem to minister to the saints, for it pleased those from Macedonia and Achaia to make a certain contribution for the poor among the saints who are in Jerusalem. It pleased them indeed, and they are their debtors. For if the Gentiles have been partakers of their spiritual things, their duty is also to minister to them in material things. So they're thinking like the Jews are responsible initially in the early church to get the gospel to the Gentiles, that the Gentiles need to pay it forward and pour back into the needs of the Jewish people in this famine. Therefore, when I've performed this and have sealed to them this fruit, I shall go by way to you to Spain. So Paul wants to go back to visit the believers in Rome. Of course, we know eventually he was there put in jail and eventually he was martyred for his faith. But he actually got to Spain. Church history tells us, Clement in his writings tells us that Paul went to Spain. I was just in Barcelona in July, and there's churches everywhere as a result of Paul's ministry there. But unfortunately, a lot of the churches now are empty because they've stopped preaching and teaching the gospel. Beautiful edifices, beautiful churches, but very little spiritual fruit anymore because of the deadness of the culture in regard to hearing the gospel and being taught the word of God. And so therefore, when I've performed this and have sealed to them, I know that when I come to you, I shall come in the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ. Again, every time Paul showed up, it was always in the power of the Holy Spirit. And that's what Lewis and I pray. Every Sunday we come here, we want to come to you, not in our own strength, but in the power of the Holy Spirit. So he speaks to you and you hear things from him that we don't even know really what he's communicating outside of what we're teaching in the word, but you're hearing encouragement for him. You're being built up. You're being edified in your faith by hearing the word of God. The Bible says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So even when you're falling asleep here, don't feel bad. You are subliminally still hearing the word of God, and it's working in your lives. So I had to come to that realization. You know, when you guys fall asleep on me and you think it's boring, or my voice is like a monotone and I'm putting you in this nice, steady, calm place of peace, you're still hearing something. And maybe I'll ask some of you when I know you're sleeping, by the way, did you hear anything in your sleep? Did you have a special dream or something? You know, encourage me. So Paul says, now I beg you through the Lord Jesus Christ and through the love of the Spirit that you strive together with me in prayers to God for me. And Paul's asking the church to pray for him, as I ask you guys to pray for Lewis and I and all the other guys and women that teach the word of God in this church. We need prayer in order for the word to be effectual. I called Gary up, our prayer warrior, this morning, and I asked him to pray for me this morning. We had a powerful time of prayer. We have a prayer Zoom on Thursday nights, and anybody's welcome to join. It's laid back. You dial the number, lay on your couch while you're eating potato chips or whatever, and you're able to pray and hear other people pray. You don't have to drive anywhere. You don't have to go anywhere. You just listen. If you don't want to pray, you just listen, but you can pray in the spirit, in your heart, whatever. But it's for each other. Well, the answers to prayer we've gotten on this prayer Zoom. We pray for each other, and we pray for one another. We prayed for Deb's surgery, and glory to God, she got through the colon cancer surgery without any danger. She's recovering now. It's an answer to prayer. We're praying for Amy Eichelberger, who's going to be starting, Ruby Eichelberger, who's going to be starting her treatment in Chicago at the City of Hope Hospital for her lymphoma B large cell cancer, and we're trusting God for miraculous things there. But these aren't just one-time prayer things. We're continually praying for these things over and over and over again, right? Until we get an answer from the Lord. We keep seeking, we keep knocking, we keep asking. And I'm grateful for many of you who have asked about Cindy's mom, how she's doing in the rehab. Is she able to walk again from her fall on our vacation when she broke her hip? And it's just neat to know that we're mindful of each other's needs. We pray for each other's kids, our grandkids. We pray for our nation. We pray for our leaders. We pray for everything that's happening in the world, in Israel and Ukraine and other places of the world. God answers prayer. And Paul always asks them to pray that he may come to them with joy by the will of God and be refreshed together with you. And you guys refresh me in my ministry. Just you showing up and smiling, whether you're sleeping or not, I don't care. I'm just glad you're here. And it's just a good place to be, isn't it, on a Sunday morning, to be in the Word and just to be with each other. And so now we go into the last chapter. And this is the farewell of Romans chapter 16. Paul says in verses 1 of 16 down to 2, I commend you to Phoebe, our sister, who is a servant of the church in Cenchrea, that you may receive her in the Lord in a manner worthy of the saints, and assist her in whatever business she has need of you, for indeed she's been a helper of many and of myself also. So Paul had a big sphere of influence. He had a great support team in different parts of the places where he preached that he could connect with for prayer and fellowship and just be with them as brothers and sisters in Christ. And so he's recognizing certain people here. And I think of Karen when I think of Phoebe. Karen, just how you've been such a blessing and behind the scenes to all of us here to help keep us crazy pastors on track and not messing everything up on our schedules. She's just always there to sort of help the left hand knowing what the right hand's doing. And so there's people in my own ministry, in my own mind, many of you here, that have had a special impact on me personally by how you serve the Lord, how you minister to other people, how you use your spiritual gifts. So Paul's acknowledging these people. He says, greet Priscilla and Aquila, my fellow workers in Christ Jesus, who risked their own necks for my life, to whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles likewise greet the church that is in their house. They had a house church back in those days. They weren't able to meet like we are because of persecution and things. And her husband and herself were able to have a Bible study, and it impacted many, many people, discipled and get grounded in the Word. They'll help you out. And there's many of you here that are able to meet in your homes, or you invite people into your homes, or you have Bible studies, and you're able to help Lewis and I equip the saints and disciple the saints for the work in the ministry. You never can have enough Bible studies going on during the week in people's homes, especially when you're one-on-one with someone. You have time to get to know people on a different level and develop these deep friendships with other people. He says, greet my beloved Epaphras, who is the first fruits of Archaea to Christ. Here's a believer who was the first Christian in this particular community that the church was planted. Greet Mary, who labored much for us. Greet Andronicus and Junia, my countrymen and my fellow prisoners, who are of note among the apostles, and also were in Christ before me. So he's talking about people that had an impact on him to come to faith in Jesus Christ because he knew them before he was an apostle. When he was out and about, he knew their testimony and their commitment to him. Greet Amphilius, my beloved in the Lord. Greet Urbanus, our fellow worker in Christ, and Stachar, my beloved. Greet Apelles, approved in Christ. Greet those who are of the household of Asterbulus. Greet Herodian, my countryman. Greet those who are of the household of Narcissus, who are in the Lord. Greet Trypena and Trophosus, who had labored in the Lord. Greet the beloved Persis, who labored much in the Lord. Greet Rufus, chosen in the Lord, and his mother and mine. Greet our Synchristus, Phlegion, Hermias, Petropas, Hermes, and the brethren who are with them. Greet Philologus and Julia, Nereus and his sister, and Olympus, and all the saints who are with them. Greet one another with a holy kiss. The churches of Christ greet you. And what a list, huh? Do you have a list in your own harbor, the things that people that throughout your life as a Christian have impacted you, that you remember the things that they did to help you grow in your faith and assist you, encourage you in your calling and your ministry? I have a long list of people since I was 20 that have come to my mind and my memory of people that were just faithful and stayed with you and had your back and prayed for you and cared for you and loved you and just were always there. And you think, Lord, thank you for these people in my life. Thank you for how they were there to help. Thank you for them when they reminded me of the calling and how good God is. And not to give up and not to quit, but to just keep going and keep on keeping on. You know, we all need people like that in our lives to encourage us. And Paul has them. And they've been responsible to help him because they prayed for him. And he said, greet one another with a holy kiss. It's interesting. Whenever I'm in Europe, this tradition still goes on, even when people aren't Christians. They kiss each other on one cheek, the other cheek, and then the other cheek. And when they first do it, you're a little taken back. You know, well, what do I do? You sort of try to do it, but you're not real good at it because you don't do it all the time, right? Kiss them on the nose or up on the forehead or whatever. But it's just a beautiful thing. It's a cultural thing, and this is what they did. Even in the ancient church, when I'm in some of these older churches that have been around forever, they still do this, and it's just a way of showing affection. And then Paul says in verse 17 down to 20, he says, avoid divisive persons. Now I urge you, brethren, note those who cause division and offenses, contrary to the doctrine which you learn, and avoid them. You have to have the wisdom to know how to stay away from toxic people. Toxic people, whether they're in the church or your employment or your work or even your family at times, are unfortunately blind and they don't understand the impact they have on you personally. They suck the wind out of your sails. They're always criticizing or backbiting or being negative or, you know, it's just the nature of the human heart to cause division. I mean, we're in a divisive country right now, right? I mean, how much division is going on between two political parties? We're supposed to be one nation under God. It's embarrassing that we have this tension going on among Christians or among people or among political parties. Man, I'll tell you, I'm not interested like in listening to the news that much because it's the same baloney all day long, fighting and complaining and criticizing and judging, and it gets you weary, right? So I'm interested in like being with people that are unified here for a purpose that lasts forever, eternal purpose. What we do in here is for eternity, and it's for unity of one spirit, the same heart, the same mind that Jesus had. Let this mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus, right? He always was thinking about building each other up, not tearing each other down. And God help us if we are tearing anybody down or trying to dismantle the work of God to scatter the sheep. There's heavy judgment on anybody that does that. And Paul, he gives you wisdom here. He says, if you see anybody causing division and offense contrary to the things you're being taught to love one another, which is what the Bible is all about, he says, avoid them. So you see someone coming up to you, hey, I'm sorry, I'm busy, I'll see you later. Why don't you want to talk to me? No, because I know like what you're going to say, and it's going to be a drain on me, and I can't do anything about what's in your head. You're going to have to ask the Lord to help you with what you're thinking or how you're feeling or what you're emoting. I don't have the energy for that. And Paul realized that as well. There's too many people that want to follow Jesus and be discipled and do the right thing. That's who you want to spend your time with. Not people that want to, you know, fight about every little thing. He says, for those who are slattering do not serve our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly by smooth words and flattering speech. They deceive the hearts of simple. One of the reasons, like everything we do in this church, any ministry we endorse or affirm must be the teaching of the Word of God. I'm not interested in anybody teaching books or someone else's opinion about some other subject. We got to be in the Word because the Word of God is what shapes our lives. I have authors I like to read and all that, but I would never bring in a book by an author and teach that to you today. I teach the book by the author, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. You're not going to catch me leafing through some book to page 48 and wanting to read something to you that was written by some man. It might be good, it might be okay, but we're here to feed on the Word of God. The Word of God is what transforms a life. Heaven and earth will pass away, the Bible says, but my Word abideth forever. Jesus said, my Word is truth. He said to the followers, sanctify them, set them apart in me by the truth. Thy Word is truth. And so we're committed. Calvary Chapel around the world is committed to the exposition of the Bible verse by verse, chapter by chapter, book by book. And that's what we're called to do. Right? That's what we're called to do. So any of us that serve together in this church, we want our Bible studies to be the Word of God, period. If they're not the Word of God, we're not going to sanction it as a Bible study endorsed by Calvary Chapel, okay? Simple as that. And it's not a legalistic thing. It's not a control thing. It's a biblical thing, right? To be like-minded, you need to be in the Word of God. I'm not interested in what Benny Hinn has to say, to be honest with you. I don't know where he's at and where his spiritual life teaches. But I want to be around like-minded teachers, right? People that teach the Word. Like John MacArthur or Chuck Smith or Charles Stanley, God bless him. He's with the Lord now. David Jeremiah. I can give you a list of good pastors you can listen to. You're not going to be messed up in your head and confused about what the Bible teaches. Right? You need to know who you're listening to and who you're watching on TV and who you're allowing yourself to be fed by. And I love Calvin, I love Luther, I love Chuck Swindoll, I like R.C. Sproul. A lot of these people aren't on the map anymore, they're gone. But I've been impacted by men who teach faithfully the Word of God expositionally. When you teach the Bible verse by verse, you've got your Bibles here today, you're following along and you know I'm not making it up or adding to it, right? It's right here, black and white. And that's safe for you and safe for me and Lewis because we stay on track. We don't have to think about, like, what cool thing can we come up with next week to blow your mind? The Word of God should be blowing your mind. It's the coolest thing ever written, right? Yeah. The Word of God. And so what happens when we don't like the Word of God that much anymore is because we don't want to hear it because we don't want to do it. That's usually problem. So these people, they come in, they deceive, they use flattering words, and they begin to deceive the heart of the people who aren't grounded, the simple. So Paul is warning the church about the teachers that can actually come in and try to deceive. So he said, your obedience has become known to all. Therefore, I am glad on your behalf. Peace will crush the wise and what is good and simple concerning evil. And the God of peace will crush Satan under your feet shortly. How about that one? Boy, it doesn't get any more powerful than that, does it, Paul? What do you say about that one guy? And may you like deal with that Alexander the coppersmith who meant much evil to me. Go get him, Lord. When David prayed, Lord, those ungodly people smash their teeth. You know, those are imprecatory prayers. You know, it's not a hateful thing, but it's like, I can't wait till God's judgment comes down and deals with the wickedness and the ungodly on the face of the planet. And one day it will. Judgment is coming. And he says, and this is an encouraging word, and the God of peace will crush Satan under your feet shortly. How many of you are looking forward to that day? Amen. Amen. It's going to come. And a new heaven and a new earth will come. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. Paul always prayed for the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ to be with all the people that put their faith in Christ. Then he has some final greetings here. He says, Timothy, my fellow worker, and Lucius, Jason, and Sosthenes, my countrymen, greet you. I, Tertius, who wrote the epistle, greet you in the Lord. This is Paul's scribe that wrote the things down that Paul had been given by the Lord. Gaius, my host, and host of the whole church, greets you. Erastus, the treasurer of the city. Paul was influential even in political sides of things where people were believers that served in government. Greets you. And Quartus, a brother, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. And then he completes the benediction as the worship team can come forward. He says, now to him who is able to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery kept secret since the world began, but now made manifest and by the prophetic scriptures made known to all nations according to the commandment of the everlasting God through obedience to the faith, to God alone wise be glory through Jesus Christ forever. Amen. What a beautiful benediction as we prepare our hearts for the supper. What a wonderful section of scripture to complete the service with. Unto him who's able to establish you, stabilize you according to what? The gospel. It comes from the word of God. And the preaching of Jesus Christ, not preaching of some other person or someone else's opinion. The preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery kept secret since the world began. The revelation was that the Jew and Gentile would be able to be one in Christ Jesus. And how was that made known? Not by someone's opinion, but by the prophetic scriptures made known to all nations according to the commandment of the everlasting God for obedience to the faith to God alone. Wise be glory through Jesus Christ forever. Amen. Only the Lord Jesus Christ. All hail the power of Jesus' name. All hail the power of Jesus' name. Let angels prostrate fall. Lift up his royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. Amen? Amen. Is Jesus your Lord today? If he is, then obey him and follow him. If Jesus is your Lord and you're giving him a hard time about things in your life you don't want to let go of or you don't want to listen to, repent while you have an opportunity. Don't play around with sin or unbelief or being unfaithful to what his word teaches. All of us have to give an account one day to the Lord as Christians before him for the things we've done in our body, whether they be good or evil. It's not for judgment and salvation. It's for the gifts, the works that we're going to be rewarded by him that we might be able to lay something at his feet. What do you want to give to Jesus on your last day of life when you enter into the throne room and your life is revealed before him? Will there be anything that he will reward you with, like these crowns that talk about we could have the opportunity to wear, five different crowns? We're not going to be walking around heaven saying, hey, man, look at my crown. Isn't it cool? Aren't I great? You know, no, these crowns are going to be like, wow, I got something I can give to the Lord. And we're going to be able to lay the crowns at his feet. What a blessing that's going to be, right? That's a life of fruitfulness and obedience to the Lord. And he'll bless you and honor you by saying to you, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord. No more pain, no more crying, no more dying, no more division, no more Republicans or Democrats. The believers in the kingdom of heaven, right? One new kingdom under God forever and ever. Let's pray. Lord, we're so grateful for the book of Romans, Lord. I think this is the third time that you've given me the privilege to teach through this book since I've been a pastor over these last 28 years. And Lord, each time I read it and study it and learn it, I see things I see things that, Lord, I wasn't obedient to, that now by your grace, Lord, I'll be obedient to. Lord, you refine us through your word. You reveal things to us, Lord, and sometimes it hurts. It wounds us. It offends us. It breaks us. It humbles us. But that's a good thing because, Lord, you do these things to make us like your son Jesus, that we would become a little bit more like him every day, every week, every month, every year, and that we might make an impact on others for your glory and for your name. So, Lord, we surrender ourselves before your throne of grace today again, thanking you for everything we learned in this book. We pray, Father, that we would apply it and do it in our lives. As we get ready to go into Corinthians next time, Lord, 1 Corinthians, another wonderful book, Father, as we go through your Bible together. Thank you for your body of Christ here at Calvary Chapel, Westmoreland County, those who attend here faithfully, those who are visiting, checking it out, Lord, those who are here with family today, we thank you for them coming as well. And Lord, we're thankful that we were able to hear once again the words of truth that you gave to your apostle, that he knew it was so important that these things were written down, that they would be passed around throughout the centuries through the world, that we might know you, Lord Jesus. We come before you, Lord, with any things that you're putting on our heart to lay at the cross. Surrender them, give them to you, Lord. Turn from them, repent of them. And Lord, we also thank you, Lord, for the seasons where we know things are well with our soul, as we sang earlier. You want it to be well with our soul, and it is well with our soul when we're doing the things that you command us. You said, if you love me, you'll keep my word. And so, Lord, help us to desire that. Put that in our hearts, Lord, not to rebel against it, but to desire to do it. Lord, bless your sheep, bless your flock, bless them in all their endeavors, and give them success in their homes, their marriages, with their children. Give them success in their careers and in their industry and in the work that you've called them to do in this life, Father. Bless them in their health, their down rising and their uprising, Lord, before you each day. That morning by morning, new mercies they'll see. All we have needed, your hand hath provided. Great is your faithfulness, Lord, unto me. On the night that Jesus was betrayed, he took the bread in his hands and he broke it and he gave thanks and he said, take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. Eat this in remembrance of me. Thank you, Lord. In the same manner, he took the cup. He said, this cup is a new covenant in my blood, which was shed for the forgiveness of sins of many. Drink this in remembrance of me. Thank you, Lord. You set this up that we could remember you each week like this. And as often as we eat this bread and we drink this cup, we show forth the Lord's death till he comes again. Amen? God bless you guys. Have a wonderful day.